Thanks for joining us on our podcast, We Are More Than Menopause. Allie and I have been best friends since we were 14 and have always leaned on each other through our entire life cycles. Throughout our friendship, we relied on advice from authors and books like Judy Blume, and as we got older, we read The Girlfriend's Guide to Pregnancy. When we raised our daughters, we read Girlology. But we found that during midlife, there was no guide. So we went back to each other and realized we had to be the guides. And then we thought, what do other people do that don't have a girlfriend to chat with? So here we are, your girlfriends guiding you through, sharing what we've learned, our trials, our tribulations, the nitty-gritty, not-so-pretty parts, and all the ways we can embrace this stage of our life. Because ladies, we are more than menopause.
Podcast, and today our guest is Hallie Abrams. She is our wardrobe consultant. She lives in Sugar Falls, which is actually where my husband grew up, funny enough. And when I saw that, it was just like such a throwback for me. Hallie is known for taking the stress out of getting dressed. Gosh knows we all need that. Mm-hmm. She spends most days working one-on-one with clients, ensuring they have a comprehensive understanding of how to look and feel their best confident person. She's a fashion nerd at heart. She views dressing as a form of communication and a way to externally express our inner self. Knowing our clothing conveys nonverbal cues to people around us, Hallie makes sure the messages being sent are intentional. Her degree is in communication and marketing, her years in advertising, her experience in retail, and her aesthetic eye give her the expertise to help clients express their authentic selves through their wardrobe. So in 2004, Hallie's sister-in-law actually returned to work after raising her children and reached out for help updating her wardrobe. And then her sister-in-law's friend started asking for the same kind of help, and she realized she was actually onto something, and there was a white space. So women are actually looking for honest but kind guidance in building wardrobes to take their style and life to the next level. So in 2005, she launched The Wardrobe Consultant, Style Real People for Real Life, systematic plan to approach wardrobing in a personalized way. Her styling methods have helped over 1,000 clients, ranging from doctors to teachers to marketing execs to moms. Hallie is passionate about making fashion attainable and fun, whether it's by working one-on-one, sharing her style advice on her blog, or posting try-on sessions on social media, or sharing all of her tips and tricks through her Feel Flippin' Fabulous online styling course. She's dedicated to helping people feel good and confident in their clothes. She is the go-to friend for fashion advice. And through The Wardrobe Consultant, she is now your go-to friend as well. And I know that I have been following you for the last, I don't know, almost a year. And it's been a game changer. I have actually bought a ton of the stuff that you have tried out. I'm like, oh, that works. I'm obsessed. Huge fan.
Thank you.
So thank you for being here today.
We are so glad to have you. Thank you so much. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, women in midlife.
Lead. You tell me how it goes.
I know.
We just talk over each other the whole time.
Perfect. That's what friends are for, right?
That is what exactly. Friends are for.
So Allie and I, we send pictures to each other about what shoes we should wear with this, what pants, what tops. And, you know, we've all got, Allison and I have known each other since we were 14. So our bodies have significantly changed in our 50s. So we're always finding a struggle of how to get dressed, how to look our best. And in midlife, we're struggling with our big problems, which is, like we talked about, our shift in our body weight. Can you kind of elaborate a little bit on some of the struggles that you see in your clients and some of the tips and tricks that you give them? I know there's thousands, because everything from jewelry to earrings to handbags, I know that you have it all.
Yeah. And it's also right. So I feel like on social media and my blog, I'm giving very general, like true, but generalized tips, right? When I work with people one-on-one, it becomes more specific. But the goal is that you, whether it's you, Allison, or you, Pam, or you, Jane Doe, can take that tip And that's your starting place to then run with it. And then you get to play and figure out what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Mm-hmm. Right. So I would say a few of the things that I have seen with clients, and I've actually seen it for years. It's very humbling when you're actually going through it yourself. Right. So I will say when I was in my, like, you know, 30s and 40s, I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, you're getting hot flashes. Okay, well, let's dress you in layers. Because again, yeah. It, that makes sense. Right. But I didn't really know what a hot flash was. And then I was like, okay, so I have a question. On your podcast, do we swear or do we not swear?
You can swear.
Oh, we always okay. swear. I was from Brooklyn. Oh, of course shit. We swear.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm sitting on a hot plate. This yeah. is crazy town. So, you know, there's an understanding theoretically of how something happens. And then there's an understanding when it actually is happening to you or someone you love or whatever. And they are like, oh, okay. I get it differently. Now. Right. Yeah. So, and I think that everybody has, it's one of the main things I have on my intake form when I start to work with someone is like, I ask them really specific questions. How do you like your clothes to fit? Loose or tight? Are you a pack rat? Are you a minimalist? Are there things that you have, we all have our certain quirks. Like some people can't stand wool, right? Some people can't have anything around their neck. It freaks them out. Other people want things around their neck. They're cold. I have other clients who've gone through menopause that now they're cold all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I cannot wait for that day. But
I know, right?
Literally, like they're cold all the time. Like they wear silk underwear now because they're always cold. Which I can't relate, but I can help them figure that out. There's some people.
I tell my husband that we're never going to be cold again, that the house will never, ever be above 70 degrees ever again. But you're telling me that there's hope.
My husband's cold all the time. So we are like in a little bit of a struggle. Mm-hmm. You know, I will tell you, I got him this like heating pad thing, like a mattress pad. It's heated so that we can have the room cooler. He can be warm,
wow.
You know, because I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like I'm sweating. He's right. Freezing. It's mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
So my husband sleeps under 3 down blankets.
Okay. And you're like, oh, I'm over here.
Yeah, completely.
Right. So I think that some of the struggle I think is the hot flash and the mm-hmm. sensitivity. Another is the redistribution of weight. So mm-hmm. again, even if it doesn't change on the scale necessarily, although for many, myself included, the scale has changed as well, where that weight is distributing and then using clothing, because clothing is an optical illusion. We have the power to control how that optical illusion, where attention is going to, and where attention mm-hmm. is going away from. And ideally, we want to create balance and harmony visually. And that's when someone looks and says, oh, wow, she looks really good. And mm-hmm. it's not always, oh, my gosh, she's so skinny. She looks really good.
Right.
People will often say, like, well, I want to look put together. But mm-hmm. part of put together is that everything is working in harmony. It's the same way when, you know, if one chooses to do cosmetic procedures, you know, Botox or filler or that kind of stuff, a practitioner that thinks about facial harmony is when you're like, oh, she looks good. She doesn't look overfilled. She doesn't look like she's chasing youth. She just looks
right.
harmonious. Fresh. So that's what I try to do with clothing, is to use that for someone's advantage. And very often when people feel off, they think they're doing it, but they don't know how to use clothing to their advantage, and they're actually using it to their disadvantage. So I'll Absolutely. Give you an example. Okay. Well, I can give you two examples. One is more general. Okay. So women, you know, we all know that people have different shapes and everyone has their own unique body shape, and that's okay. And that's good. We own it, and then we have to work within that framework. It's also like all three of us are wearing glasses. We're not like, oh my gosh, I'm so ashamed. My eyes are not working. We're like, okay, cool. Let's go get cool glasses. Yes. you know, and then you put them on, you're like, oh, I can actually see.
So you lean in and you embrace what you have.
Okay. So women that are traditionally more of a triangular shape, let's say pear, triangle, whatever. They carry more weight in their hips and their thighs, and they are smaller framed in their shoulders, right? So very often women that innately are that shape tend to say, oh, this is my smaller part. I'm going to wear something really small and tight there and something big and flowy on the bottom to hide that area. But what actually happens is it's accentuating the disproportionateness between top and bottom. It is creating visually the top looking smaller, which is what they were intending to do. But when you're looking at it globally, it's not creating harmony. It's creating more disproportion, right? Visually. So it doesn't mean you need to wear something big and baggy on top, but what it does often mean is that a woman that has that body shape, if she wears something that's more of a boat neck or something that has a little bit of a puff sleeve or a chunkier necklace, it is filling up the top part. So then it is feeling more balanced in proportion to the bottom. Because ideally what we're all trying to do is have somewhat of an hourglass shape where the top and bottom are feeling proportionate with a bit of a nip at the waist. Not meaning it has to be every time, not meaning we're chasing Marilyn Monroe, but if you're thinking about it again, generally, that's the ultimate goal to create the harmony. So we're filling up where we have less and playing down and not adding more where we naturally have more. So dependent on your shape, that's the part of the hourglass we want to fill. That kind of...
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
So the opposite then, so if you're top heavy, right, and you have belly fat, but you don't have big waist, then are you then doing a tighter fit in the top?
So it's not necessarily a tighter fit in the top, but it's the idea of, okay, so someone that is more that shape, which let's call that an apple or an oval, right? Because that's what you're sort of describing. So very often women with that shape will wear like a legging and a tunic because they want to have more grace up top. And they're like, oh, my legs are skinny. I want to wear, you know. So yes. And sometimes if it's a slim cut that has a little bit of a kick at the bottom, it's creating more balance and proportion, or maybe it's they are able to wear clunkier shoes or cool boots because again, we want to create balance and proportion. We don't want it to be where it's like, I'm trying to think of the toy from when it's not a Weeble Wobble, but you know what I mean? Like something where it's like bigger on the top with two little sticks coming out.
Yeah, that's not exactly.
We want to create where, so it doesn't mean you need to wear a wide leg pant. And again, just because they're saying wide leg pants are more in now does not mean everyone needs to prescribe to that. But it might mean that instead of a true legging that gets really tight at the bottom of your calf and your ankle, or like a little kick flare, like a mini little, so more of a straight leg. And again, you can do a clunkier shoe. And then maybe you are more of a delicate jewelry person, or a person that has that shape often does better with a V-neck. Right? Or a scoop neck like what you're doing so that you are seeing there's more skin. Or a necklace that goes down and sits in between the girls creates more visually. Right?
So okay, it's so I have a question.
Like that. Sure.
Okay.
Ask away because I just get a sip of coffee.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So I was in a store years ago and I put on a dress. I think it was by Free People, which tends to trend younger, right? And I sat and I debated and I hemmed and hawed as I'm sitting there in the dressing room. And I'm like, am I too old for this? I think I was 50 at the time. So it was like 7 years ago. Like, should I not do it? Should I do it? I don't like my knees. I feel like everything falls. And so I was really struggling. And the woman, the salesperson said, here's what I'm going to tell you. If it looks good, you should wear it. And I wasn't sure about that because I always had this other rule in my head that if I did the trend once, I shouldn't do it again, right? If I did it like the long denim skirts that I did in, you know, I don't even know what, in the 70s, and now they're back and I'm obsessed with them. But okay. So like there was always this rule. So is there a rule that says if it doesn't matter how old you are, you should wear it if it looks good? Do you believe that?
I do believe that, but I'm going to add on a comma and more to the sentence. Okay. And you feel good in it, right? It's not just a matter if it looks good, it has to feel good to you. And I find that many, many women, I don't know why, I'd be curious, I don't know why, have disconnected the part of it feels good. Right? They're not tuned into that inner voice of, oh, no, this feels good. I like it. I feel good. I feel confident. I could go kick some ass. Mm-hmm. It's more external. Do they think it's okay? Did the girl at the store think it looks good? Did my husband think it looks good? Does my child think it looks good? Does my best friend think it looks good? And I think that that's information, if that helps you process it. But at the end of the day, you have to plug into your gut to know what feels good for you. So
I was just going to say the hard part of that is, especially coming out of COVID, I mean, we all got to where I'm just going to be comfortable, right? I'm going to wear leggings and this top or this top of just jeans, and I'm going to be comfortable. And then it's like, okay, now I have to reappear into the world again. And how do you balance, this is what I felt comfortable with, to this isn't working for me anymore. I need to go to the next stage,
right,
and balance the two.
Right. And I don't think they're mutually exclusive. That's a big part of it, right? Trust me, I get home at the end of the day and I cannot wait to take my bra off and put on my comfy clothes, right? But there is some stuff that is comfy at home and there's some stuff that's comfy when we go out, if that's important to you. Now, I don't think the younger generations care quite as much. I think my daughter is fabulous and gorgeous, but the way she and her friends go to school, it's borderline homeless. And like, literally, it's like the most oversized sweatshirt. Mm-hmm. It's slippers with socks, with like a hoodie, with zit medicine on their face sometimes. Like, I don't understand. And again, maybe that's my uptight or our generation or whatever, but I don't, and I will get on Instagram in my comfy clothes and talk to people. So it's not that I think, oh my gosh, did you watch that show, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel?
Oh, of course.
Okay. So you remember how she would like go to bed and then get up early to have her makeup on, so when her husband woke up,
I'm not suggesting that.
I think that's a little, right? But to me, there is a difference between at home and then, and people in your home, yes, you should be at home, but then there's a difference between, I'm not going to work in an office. I'm not going to present something to a group. I'm not going out to a nicer dinner the same way I would be at home. That's what makes me feel comfortable though. If someone else feels comfortable and confident doing that, God bless, they 100% should. And I don't mean it in a passive aggressive,
you're right.
Okay, you do you. I don't mean it that way, but like truly you have to do you and you have to know what feels good for you. But if it doesn't, you also have to like be honest and self-reflective.
Right.
It can't be like a default, like, oh, I don't know what to do, so screw it, I'm just going to do this.
That's what a lot of it is too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really at the gym, but I don't, you know, I'm not like, well, I'm not going to go because I think it's important for me and for my health and for my mental well-being. And so I will find either someone to help me there or, I could sit in bed and eat bonbons all day and not do anything, but I don't think that's good for me.
No,
not every day.
Right.
Not every day. But it's interesting because I think other people's voices take up rent in our head. They take up space. So like I hear I have daughters and they're in their 20s. And so they're in, you know, they're super, I want to say super critical, but they're observant. They're incredibly observant. And so I hear in my head their voice of, oh, mom, definitely don't wear that. Or mom, you should rock that. You can rock that. But when you step outside, you have to have your own voice in your head and you have to be confident in what you're wearing, whether it's your sweatpants, right? So my daughters also had gone to school dressed like homeless people. And it was always, actually my oldest daughter went to school in North Carolina. So she could not wear like little dresses and booties. And that was how she went to school every day until her senior year. But my youngest in Maryland was literally in sweatpants and disgusting clothes and giant hoodies. But it really is about owning who you are when you step out the door. And yes. I think that's where midlife women need to kind of hone in, right?
I think that we as women of our generation, we did a great job building our daughters and making them feel good about themselves. I think we did a much better job at that to our daughters than our moms did to us, because we have constantly, you know, we're constantly second guessing our everything and trying to have this unobtainable look. And if we don't have that, then we're critical of ourselves. But I do think that our girls, we need to find a balance in how our girls feel about themselves and how we can feel good about ourselves and still understand that perfection is not the key.
It's yeah, no, perfection is 100% not the key, because I actually think that, especially for our generation and our peers, it sets off alarms of like inauthenticity. Did I pronounce that properly? Of not being authentic. Yeah. Let's say it that way.
Right.
So no, I don't think perfection's key. And I actually think that very often people will come to me and say like, well, I want to look effortless. Like that's a word that put together and effortless. Those are two words I hear a lot from people. Mm-hmm. The truth is effortlessness, whether you're a dancer or a basketball player, so it takes practice.
You're right.
To get to look effortless. But that juxtaposition, the imperfection, leaning into our own imperfections helps that ease. It helps with the ease. So like, remember when Cindy Crawford, like she kept her mole and it's like, ooh, she had her mole,
right.
But that is not perfect, but it is very her and very beautiful, and she should. So people that are looking too perfect, it's not necessarily what we want. And I think it makes others feel uncomfortable.
Right.
So again, I think there's a place for other people's voices in our heads. Like that's being part of a society. There is something to be said for societal norms and picking up cues of what make other people feel comfortable along with what makes us feel comfortable. But, you know, if you go way overdressed to an event, if you go to a backyard barbecue and you're wearing a cocktail dress, it makes you feel uncomfortable and it makes the people there feel uncomfortable because they're like, where are you going? I'm wearing my jeans, you know? So it's this balance, but I think at the end of the day, it's about self-awareness and self-reflection. And I think
that's the key
for everything, right? Mm-hmm. And easier said than done, 100% easier said than done. But one of the exercises I go through with my clients, one of the exercises I go through with the women that take my course, which self-promotion, it's in January 2024. I have a waitlist happening for it. And it's a 3-month course where I take women through to be your own personal stylist. So you learn all the tips and tricks that I do, and we work in small groups. So it's amortized over multiple people, which is nice. It makes it more financially mm-hmm. accessible, but still have access to me and still have feedback. So, so I do this with literally everyone. I like people, and you guys can do it too. So here's the tip. Come up with words to create your own style statement. So sometimes that's what your current style is, and sometimes it's what you want your style to be, right?
What kind of words?
So, okay. So one thing actually that I do offer on my website mm-hmm. is a style quiz where I went through mm-hmm. and said, okay, like, do you like this bedroom? Pick which of the four bedrooms you like. Cause it's not okay. only about fashion, right? It's not right. only it's about style. Mm-hmm. What nail color do you like? What flowers do you like? What coffee would you order, right? All mm-hmm. the different things where we're making choices. And then I went through and said, okay, well, if they pick this, this is more their style. And it goes through and does it for you, hmm. right? And I also encourage people to take it twice, because very often you're like choosing between two, excuse me. And we don't only have one style, right? We're not like, oh, I'm only classic all the time. Hmm. Very often we have an overriding, overarching style. And then we have sort of sub styles that we're attracted to and that we plug in at certain times. But so a style statement ideally would be between 4 and 6 words.
Okay.
That are a combination of how you want people to feel when they see you, along with what we think of as traditional style words. I'm going to get my form that I do this with, and I can actually take you through it. So,
okay. I love like, this.
I do. Yeah. I love this. So, this is a good takeaway.
I know. I'm writing it down.
I didn't even come prepared for that. So,
so is quiet luxury one of those new style, like there was coastal grandma for a while. Mm-hmm. Now there's quiet luxury. But interesting. I've never heard how you want people to feel when they
when they're around you. I love that.
So if you think of it as a bubble and you have 3 words on the top and 3 words on the bottom and your name's in the middle. So the top 3 words are more your brand. So the values and the needs and the brand promises that represent your style and how you want to be felt by others. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Confident, smart, engaging, friendly, easygoing, successful, wealthy, jet setter. Okay. Those are just a few you can come up with your own. So they're not what we necessarily think of as style words per se. They're more
right.
It's a really brand. You are your own brand.
Right. I get that. Okay.
And then the bottom 3 are words that describe looks or images or styles that excite you visually. So these are words that you think of that light you up about your style and your appearance of clothes or shoes or that kind of thing. So again, examples would be classic, romantic, put together, polished, trendy, edgy, boho, conservative, artistic, rock and roll, you know, there's all these different ones that again, appeal to different people. And when you think of like 2 to 3 on top or 2 to 3 on bottom, mm-hmm. that then can create your style statement. And very often there can be some that feel like they're juxtaposed, and that's okay, because that's where the interest comes. That's where that like, imperfection that creates interest and authenticity comes from, that juxtaposition. So someone may be, you know, easygoing and confident, which you wouldn't think necessarily goes mm-hmm. together, right? And then classic but edgy. Again, probably don't go together. But if those are the words that you're like, yeah, that's what feels right, own it. And then try and look around when you're using those words and see if when you're getting dressed, if the mm-hmm. outfits that feel really good for you have those words in them. And if the outfit is feeling off, go back to the words once you've sort of finalized the words. And again, it's a process. It's not a magic wand. It really is a process of like, oh, this is working for me, or this isn't, or this feels right, or it doesn't. It's tapping in, going through those exercises really taps into your inner voice. Because at the end of the day, that's all that flipping matters.
Yeah. Can I share with you my words?
Yes, I'd love to know them.
And maybe Pam as well, if she'd like. So my brand, I taken some of these words, is friendly, successful, easygoing. Mm-hmm. That's what I want to share with others. And then the describe my style that lights me up, mm-hmm. what I try to attain. And that's classy, put together, and feminine.
I love that.
So I love florals. I do. I love florals, but I've been told I cannot wear florals because it makes me look old. So, but I love florals.
It was just your big flower shirt.
That's true. Big flowers.
Right. Well, it's really how it gets interpreted. And Pam, I want to hear your words, but I want to talk for 1 second about what Alice just said. So you can and should love it. It's how to make it work for you. So right. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, I had a client that was a C-suite executive. Mm-hmm. She was very well endowed. She was busty. Mm-hmm. And she didn't feel herself in like a true conservative Brooks Brothers or mm-hmm. Tahari suit or something like that, right? What she actually really liked was romantic. That mm-hmm. was one of the words that, and when I looked at her home, and again, that's something that I get to do when I work one-on-one with people. I'm able to take what happens in their home. I'm able to see how they decorate. I'm able to see, and that is a reflection very often of yours. So she really did like romantic, but she's like, every time I try to wear that, you know, the ruffles, it's too much on my bust mm-hmm. and it's too, and the floral, I feel like I'm just, it's too much. So that's where I got to come in and I loved it because it was a really cool challenge. It wasn't just mm-hmm. a cookie cutter. Most of my clients are not cookie cutters. And what we did is we looked for ways to incorporate it, but more subtly. So we found a blazer for her that had like a lace inlay in the back, right? Mm-hmm. So she was able to still have that, but it wasn't necessarily chiffon ruffles down the front of her shirt, right? It was able to have something that was floral. And actually we put her in a floral pant because her body shape was a little more that oval or that apple. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. another way to add, remember we were talking at the beginning about visual volume.
Right.
So adding something of interest, like a print on the bottom mm-hmm. creates visual volume at the bottom half of your hourglass. So by having that, and then she was able to wear like a solid blazer and have visually minimize the top, still be true to her aesthetic. But it's thinking of it in different ways. It's not necessarily like, oh, I have to wear a floral blouse because floral blouses are in or floral dresses are in. It's how to interpret it for yourself. And I use a ton of cooking metaphors because I think we all need to eat. And so it's the same way if you have an allergy to peanuts, you just omit the even if the recipe calls for peanuts, omit it, just change it. Okay, we'll use almonds or we'll use some, it just because that's what the recipe is doesn't mean that's how you have to have it. If you like things spicier, add more spice. Mm-hmm. If you don't. The clothes are like the chicken and the potatoes. But they can be interpreted in any way. It can be a Mexican dish. It can be an Italian dish. It can be a Chinese dish. It can be, you know, steak and potatoes on the grill. So you get to put your own spin on it. That's just literally the meat and potatoes.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a great analogy. It's your base.
Yeah. Right. You've got the basics, but then our own recipe cards.
Yes.
We developed is our brand and is who we are in that statement. I love that. Thank you.
And it's also not your blood type. So it does not stay the same forever. So it gets to evolve with you as you evolve. There's probably some that will be a consistent.
Yeah.
But you get to have fun and play. Okay, Pam, I feel like we ignored you. Yes. Can we talk about your...
No. I actually, because it actually takes time to really think about it.
Think about it.
But now I like... I'm sitting here visualizing, Allison, how you can incorporate your flowers like to like a really cool duster that has some flowers on it. Mm-hmm. So it does what you want. Right. Allison and I, we've battled back and forth because she had all of these big flowery blouses and I made her put them aside. Not to get rid of them, but put them aside. So, but I think that's what, you know, but that's what friends do, is they're honest with you.
You can be honest. That's what a good friend is. Yes. Is they go, hey, that's really not working for you.
Right. So, and you also have to, for yourself, think about who you're taking advice from, right? Mm-hmm. It has to be someone that you trust and that you feel has your best intentions in mind. So, you know, that's it also. And I think that's why there's so much distrust, sadly, for people that work in retail.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Because
you know, they will say, like, oh my God, that looks fabulous. And you're like, no, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Right.
But in all fairness, I would like to give them the benefit of the doubt that very often it probably does look better on you than many people they've seen in it. Mm-hmm. So that's part of it. And the second part is they don't really know you. They're just looking at it quickly.
That's true.
So yes, are they motivated by the sale and the commission? Yes. And they're human, right? But that's why having a style statement in your hip pocket, you're able to say, oh, this isn't feeling right. Why is it not feeling right? Is it matching my style statement? And if it is, if it's clicking all those boxes, then maybe there's another reason. Or maybe you're like, no, actually it is. But very often, it's not matching your style statement. And that's why you're having that hesitation.
That struggle. So Hallie, I think that kind of perfectly translates into what you do and how you manage to reach so many people. And can you talk about your Facebook group? You have a private Facebook group that's like as if you are our personal stylist, the way you described it.
Yes. So I have a private Facebook group called All Dressed Up With Somewhere To Go. There's specific content that we will put there. So I will do try-ons from different stores where I literally am trying things on and I'm like, oh, this is from Banana Republic. It's awesome. But you know what? I think it runs small. And this is this.
Which, by the way, helped me when I was dressing for the High Holy Days. I appreciated that.
Wow. Good, good. I'm glad. That's what I want. Or I like this, but you know what? It's a little itchy. So if you're sensitive to it, you might not want it. Or here's this. This is how I would wear it. So I put that content is exclusively for the Facebook group. The other things that we do there, and there are a few thousand members. I want to say, don't quote me. I want to say it's 4,000, but I don't totally know off the top of my head. And people will also post their questions. And then I do weigh in, but honestly, I wait to see what the other members of the community weigh in and say first, because again, we don't need to let other people's opinions live rent-free in our head. But we still do care about what other people think, or we'd just be living in our own little bubble, right? So I can promise it's monitored. So it's a kind group. Nobody's ever saying anything mean, but it is, you get a sense of, oh, how is this looking to other people, right? So someone put up there that she was going to visit her daughter at college and she was sharing the texts going back and forth and what she wanted to wear. And the daughter was like, oh, don't wear this. Don't wear that. Right. We're going to bars, or, oh, don't do this, or whatever. And so some people were giving suggestions like you could wear this or you could wear that. I eventually did weigh in and I'm like, what I'm seeing is that your daughter wants you to blend in. She wants you to wear a uniform. Now that's your choice if you want to do that or not for her, but that's what I'm hearing and seeing. And then I think she did actually do that.
That's interesting.
Some version of that. And again, moms and daughters, that we could do like a 9-hour podcast on that. There is a whole other, there's a lot of love, but there is a whole other chemistry that comes with that. And I think that in all honesty, that's a lot of the reason people will hire me is I'm not their mom, I'm not their sister, and I'm not their husband. So I'm coming to it without any baggage. And when I say, oh, okay, like, that's great, but I think we could do better. They're like, okay, great. Let's do it. What do we do? We're like, if my, I promise you, I adore my mother. If Pam or Allison, if you said to me, oh, Hallie, you cut your hair. I'd be like, oh my God, I did. I cut a few inches and blah, 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 blah. And if my mom said, oh, honey, you cut your hair. I'd be like, why? Like, you don't like it? What's wrong?
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
For no reason other than like our chemistry.
She's our mom. Exactly.
Yes. And so
we do that
DNA.
To our daughters. And we do that to our daughters. And
me too. You can't help it.
It took me a long time to figure that one out. But,
Yeah.
So that's what the Facebook group does. It does. You do need to ask to be accepted. We do monitor it. And we post, you know, my weekly blog in there, and we post outfit prompts, and it's really a lovely, lovely community.
Where else can people find you?
They can also find me on Instagram. My handle is The Wardrobe Consultant. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that, yes, my feed is much more polished and curated. My stories are where it's at. That is like every day there's something. I'm often there without makeup talking about, you know. That's also where I share things. I'll be like, oh, I got Botox today. This is what happened to my eyebrows. I have a weekly blog that comes out on Tuesdays, and it usually is some sort of, there's always links, there's shopping, but there's also tips and tricks. I think next week, what are we talking about next week? Oh, we're talking about the new shape of jeans, you know, that jeans are wider and what to wear with it. Like, how do those combos work and why do they work and not work? You know what?
Are you talking about the barrel jeans
to wear with it? Barrel jeans or wide leg trouser jeans or even like straight leg, but things that aren't skinny, because everyone kind of is like, okay, I got the memo. Skinnies aren't in. And many people have even bought them, but now they're hanging in their closet because they're like, what the F do I do with them? Like, they're there. Okay, I did it, but like, how do I play the record through? I can't figure it out. So that's what next week's is about. And those are always there. They live in eternity on the internet. But it's Instagram, Facebook. I am on TikTok, although it's really the exact same content that's on Instagram because that's for younger people.
Oh my gosh.
Although my husband is obsessed with TikTok.
My
husband will almost daily quote, like, you know what I learned on TikTok? Blah, blah, blah. So he likes that better. But
people are raising their children based on TikTok now.
Yes.
Yes. So they're literally getting parenting advice on TikTok. It's okay. Yeah, you're fantastic. I highly recommend that you guys follow her. She's amazing. She's authentic. That's how I would really describe you. Is you are very authentic, very real, and we're so grateful. Thank you for sharing all of your wisdom with us today.
Thank you so much, and don't forget me. And we're going to give everybody your links on our blog as well. And then if you would notify us when your course goes live, we would love to share it with everybody.
I would love that. Yep. There is a wait list. I'll make sure that that's live so that you guys can do that. And then those will be the first people to find out about when the course happens. It will be early 2024. Like when everyone's ready and they're like, all right, I went through the holiday. Like the same way people join a gym. It's like, okay, I'm ready to commit to myself.
Let's get rid of all the yuck and let's go bring in the new.
And then, you know, there's some accountability there also because there's a group. So you're sort of like, okay, like this week I'm going to get this done. And it just, I work well with accountability. Thank you. Thank you guys so very much. I appreciate it.
See you guys next week.